Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I believe we're having a little minor technical difficulty, and that's okay. Let's see if we have a live connection or not. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Trust that we're coming through loud and clear. Maybe I can get a little thumbs up from somebody. I would really appreciate that. We have a kind of an important message to share with you today, and I just want to make sure that we are going through loud and clear. So we're having just a little minor technical difficulty, and we're working on that right now. And if you could hear my voice out there, we keep getting knocked off for some reason. So let's see what we have going on here. Let me just take the area code 479-903. Can you hear me okay today? How about Pastor Ken? Let's see if Pastor Ken, can you hear me today?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Loud and clear. We're coming through. Awesome. All right. Well, very good. I appreciate that. We're going to begin our broadcast. Let me just kind of get myself back into normal here. And let's just begin the broadcast this way. Today, we are fleeing Babylon, New York. I am leaving with my grandson and the small suitcases we came with. We are quietly leaving the land of graven images and of people who are wholly given over to idolatry. Some may mock this assertion that New York is Babylon, but I can honestly say that the mocking spirit is also a sign of the deep-rooted depravity in the soul and psyche of this city. The madness of the people is not a violent one yet, but a soaking and absorption of the filth and degradation that one may find on any street corner in the city. While the sights seem spectacular, they are once again the sights of the works of men's hands who have built the towers of Babel out of pure defiance and rebellion against the Creator, who is to be praised forevermore, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Truly, the minds of the masses have been blinded by the God of this world and are being led down the wide road that leads to destruction. This is sad because the people we see and meet are decent people, but it appears that even though they hear the good news and will humbly acknowledge that what we say is true concerning Christ and the cross, they still remain unrepentant and incapable of turning away from the path they are on. It's a very serious problem going on in New York City, ladies and gentlemen, and the fact of the matter is, as we walk away from this place today, we had some, I believe, a very miraculous thing happen yesterday. I'm going to share with you in just a moment something beautiful, something spiritual, something from God in the midst of all of the stuff that's going on around and about in this city. Let me just tell you the story real quick. Yesterday, my grandson and I, Caden, we were on the subways down to downtown Manhattan to the Wall Street Financial District. I wanted to show him that. We went to the Freedom Tower, and we wound up going to the very top of the Freedom Tower. But we took PATH trains over to Jersey City, And we went out in Journal Square and we got some bikes and we rode through Jersey City, which is where I was born and raised. And I bronzed all those little special places there. And went to my old high school, Dickinson High School. I went to the parks we used to hang out at that look at the New York City skyline. It's just a beautiful, beautiful sight. Went to Vinny's Pizzeria, Gino's Pizzeria, did all of that good stuff. We came back, and I wanted to, we hung out for a little bit, had a gelato, and we walked and walked and walked and rode bikes. I mean, it was just an amazing day of walking and riding. And so for dinner, I took grandson to Little Italy. And so we went to Canal Street, and we headed a little bit east and a little bit north, and there was the center of Little Italy where we went. And we stood on a corner because it's a large section of New York, and there are many Italian restaurants there, many. And because my family is from Naples, you know, I was considering going to Cafe Nabladan. But we stood on the corner, and I said, Caden, let's pray right now that the Holy Spirit of the living God would direct us to where we need to be and where we need to eat. So we started walking north on this particular street, and all the hawkers are on the side saying, come on in, eat over here, eat over here. And we got to the end, and I just knew that to my on the other side of the street, back the way we came, is where we needed to eat. And so we walked over there, and as soon as I showed up, the guy was there. He took us to a table immediately, no lines, nothing, right to a table, sat us down. And as we're getting settled in and finally taking a breather, who comes next to us? They bring a couple, a beautiful couple from Philadelphia. They come and they sit down next to us. His name is Maurice and her name is Keisha. And Maurice and Keisha are sitting next to us. And we're so close to each other in these Italian restaurants. They're outdoor, semi-outdoor, and they have tables where people are just sitting next to each other. And so Maurice and I kind of acknowledged each other, and there seemed to be an immediate peace. And I looked at the man and I said, this man is born again, man. The Spirit of God is all over him. And so as we were having our meal, we struck up a conversation, of course. And sure enough, Maurice and his wife Keisha are born again. They love the Lord. And in our conversation, it turns out that Keisha discovered 20 years ago a hair product. And the hair product that she created is something that it's 98% of it is for women. And you could put it in your hair, and there's no chemicals in it. It's all biodegradable stuff you could actually eat if you needed to, right? And so she came up with this formula. And because of it, they became multimillionaires. And they were very happy to share the story of their great financial success. And so I was sharing with them. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you're a very wealthy family. They have five beautiful children. Their story is amazing, how they got born again and turned their hearts back to the Lord Jesus and are saving him. And I asked them a very serious question and honest. I felt very comfortable to do so. I said, you know, I'm here in New York. I was born and raised in Jersey City, and I know this area pretty well. And I said, let me ask you this. With all the wealth that you have, everywhere you turn, you're hearing people talking about prosperity and all these things. And I said, what about the scriptures in the Bible? What if someone were to come to you and say that there's coming a time where you will not be able to buy or sell or use the cash that you have or the money you have without receiving the mark of the beast? And right there, I saw the eyes kind of open a little bit. But rather than resistance, I felt like an okay to proceed in our conversation. And so I commenced and shared everything out of Matthew chapter 24 about the last days, the love of many waxing cold, how many people will be caught off guard because they believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, that most people are really sound asleep right now, and there seems to be a darkness over the church and believers, and the prosperity gospel is being preached. And what was so awesome is Maurice stayed very quiet, and he was listening, and Keisha was beginning to share that she too felt that the people in the churches were given over to the prosperity. She had seen it up close and firsthand. And so as we were conversing and moving on, I just experienced a very fast friendship. And they said, we knew that when we came to this restaurant today, that it was going to be a spirit-led adventure, that God had something for us to hear. And so I proclaimed unto them a time of the Great Tribulation, what is coming, where we are, the signs of the times, the things that we need to be preparing for and how we should prepare for them. And at the end of it, I said, now, how does this resonate? You know, what do you do? And Maurice finally said, thank you. Thank you. And Keisha said, this is the voice that we need to hear, because people are so immersed in this other prosperity gospel and everything is about money that, you know, they need to hear this wake-up call. And I said, well, my desire is to broadcast into New York City. My desire is to get on radio and to broadcast a warning message. And I said, here's the warning. I don't want to get on radio and just preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus, that your sins could be forgiven and the blood of Christ cleanses you from your sin. I believe the message that needs to be trumpeted in New York City is, come out of her, my people. Flee Babylon. The destruction is sure. And that is the message, to warn believers in the church that it is time. It is time to proclaim this particular message. And there was agreement. There was agreement. And so at the end of our conversation, I'm going to leave that there for right now. At the end of our conversation, we got into fear came up. It was about fear. And I said to one of them, I don't want to say which one, but I just said, listen, fear has no place in both of your lives, because God has blessed you with resources and finances to be on assignment to take care of the kingdom, to really help advance the kingdom of God. And if you have fear, it's going to block you from doing what God wants you to do. It's going to turn you in the wrong direction. And so Keisha said, absolutely, I've struggled with fear my whole life. And here's a woman, extremely successful, and her husband, and there they are. They're living the dream. They're doing fabulous. She's an entrepreneurial spirit. Her husband helps her manage all the wealth, so to speak. And where do we go here? I think we're having a little technical difficulties. I don't know what's going on here. But anyways, trusting we're still on the air. So anyways, I talked a little bit about the can't have fear, and then we said goodbye. And as we said goodbye, Caden and I, by the way, they started ministering to Caden because he took these magnificent photos, and they were saying, man, these photos are amazing. And in her entrepreneurial spirit, she advised him and directed him how he could actually take those pictures and sell them to advertisers through different social outworks. And Caden's eyes lit up, and he's actually pursuing that right now. But we left and we said goodbyes, and that was all good. And we made a right turn, went down the block, and there they were again. And I just put my hand on his shoulder to walk by, and Keisha grabbed my hand and she said, I need you to pray for me against the spirit of fear, because I was telling her about Patricia's book. I was explaining to her that the book is all about deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And praise God. I hope someone's saying you're live now at 10:13. I hope we've been live all along. Okay, so anyways, so I had said to her that that Patricia had written this book. She needs to download a copy, or we could send her a copy. And that if she just called Patricia and talked with her for 5 minutes, she'd be set free. I mean, that demon would be cast out. So anyways, now we're walking down. They grabbed me and they said, I want you to pray. So we're standing on the corner of Canal, and I don't know what the cross street was, but I start praying, binding, rebuking the spirit of fear, knowing that it was sent by the devil to trip them up in their assignment on this earth, the purpose for God giving them wealth and all of these different things. And so we went to war, bound, rebuked, cast out. We were done. We've continued in conversation. They're on their way to the Caribbean, and they're, again, they're just doing incredible things. And I'm going to leave that there right now, but it was a real divine appointment. And, you know, everything inside of you as a minister of the gospel, you want to say, hey, we could sure use some financial resources, but, you know, I don't have that in me to say that. I honestly don't, you know, I just don't have that, except every once in a while on a program I'll ask for financial support because we need to pay our bills. But, boy, would it be awesome to see that happen. Now, we left, and that conversation, we wound up getting home, and by the time we finally made it back to our hotel room, it was probably around 10 o'clock or so, exhausted. Our feet were tired. Everything was tired. And we continued our communications with Maurice and Keisha on the text, and we'll be friends with theirs. I mean, it was a spiritual connection. It was a beautiful spiritual connection. And I know that the devil is very powerful to break spiritual connections. I've seen it for 37 years, and particularly as a pastor, I've watched the Holy Spirit bring relationships together, and the devil gets in there to divide those relationships. I've seen it for years and years, and the only thing I know is that the only way things are going to work for the kingdom and God's divine purpose is going to go forth is when mature Christians refuse to be offended or refuse to be caught up in the spirit of division or to be, you know, caught up in a spirit of pride that somehow what they saw was too bad for them. You know, they were too good for that kind of thing, where people think that, you know, for one reason or another, something gets in their mind, something gets in their head, and the devil shows it to them. And they see it with their eyes, and it's very real. It's a conflict. There's a problem. And instead of following the biblical mandate of if your brother sins against you or if you see something, go to it, people just have a tendency to just disappear. And you wonder, you sit back and you go, gee, I thought that was a great divine connection. Now, I'm not saying that with Maurice and Keisha. I'm saying that about relationships I've witnessed in the body of Christ. And what we need to do as Christians, knowing the times that we are in, declaring the things that we are declaring, is to begin to formulate a plan and to gather the resources of intercessors, prayer warriors, engineers, people that have scientific ability to get things done, financial resources. See, God wants to put things together to enable his people to be prepared for what's coming down the pike. And because we know that the majority of people are not ready for what is coming down the pike, well, they're going to get caught off guard. But we who claim to know that we are here and these times of trouble are upon us, well, it's up to us to put it together, to bring together the resources to get things accomplished. I believe I need to be preaching a message into New York City. I believe that's my calling. I believe that God wants me to do that. And I know what the message is. Come out of her, my people, to convince the people that have an ear to hear that it is time to get out of this city because it is going to be destroyed. I know that Washington, D.C. and New York City are going to get hit. I mean, right now, for example, let me tell you just a little bit of the madness going on in different places in this place. And unfortunately, there are police officers that are being attacked for the last 3 days. And what kind of an attack? It's the attack of insult. The attack of insult. Police officers are being doused with water. It's happened 3 times in the last several days. Police officers are going on their beat, and citizens are taking buckets of water, hoses, and dousing the police officers, and the police officers standing there like rag dolls. They're not allowed to respond. They're not allowed to do anything. And so in New York, they're talking a lot about this. And what you're beginning to see is that discontent, that hostility between the police and the citizenry. And you're in New York. And the governor, as President Trump said yesterday, is the worst governor that's ever existed in the history of New York City. This is the same governor that legislated for full-term abortion on January 20th and 21st, when that red blood, red wolf moon came out, the very next day, the salivating wolves in the legislative branch of government are passing laws to kill babies at full term when they're born. And that's part of this governorship that's here in New York. And so the police are standing down for whatever reason, and that's kind of insane. But on a more incredible note, let me just share an article with you right now. And this is coming out of the Prophecy News Network. I thought this was very interesting and somewhat confirming to what we're saying about the madness of what's going on in our world today. And the title of this article is simply, "That Didn't Take Long, the APA Normalizing Polyamory." Polyamory, and I'll tell you what that is in just a moment. So recently, the APA announced the creation of a special task force to address the needs of people who practice consensual non-monogamy, including their intersecting marginalized identities. Now, isn't that a lot of words that need to be unpacked? So here goes. First, consensual non-monogamy is a euphemism for polyamory. Polyamory is the practice of or desire for emotionally intimate relationships with more than one partner. And, interesting, marginalized identities means the task force will look into how the desire to have more than one partner is, in fact, a deep-seated identity, and anyone who thinks otherwise is discriminating against people who were born that way. And I emphasize born that way. Or, as the APA put it in their announcement, the ability to engage in desired intimacy without social and medical stigmatization is not a liberty for all. End of quote. Many of us predicted polyamory would, in fact, be the next cause of the sexual revolution. Polyamorous marriage seems, for now, inevitable. That would mean marriage between more than two people, and why not? If marriage is officially severed from procreation, as so-called same-sex marriage has now legislated, then there is no reason to keep it to two people, instead of three, four, or more. Or, as a member of the task force wrote on Medium, monogamy is privileged, implying, of course, that it shouldn't be. Wow. So the task force will study all kinds of polyamorous relationships with the stated goal, according to the same task force member, of helping, quote, mental health professionals examine their biases and take a non-judgmental posture toward clients engaged in consensual non-monogamy, just as they would with LGBTQ clients. All right, so you see where this is going. Now, notice the assumption here. As long as the behavior in question is consensual, whatever that means, mental health professionals should take a non-judgmental posture. The real goal of the task force, however, goes beyond helping to remove the bias of mental health professionals. Remember that phrase from the announcement that I quoted earlier about medical and social stigmatization? Well, as has been the case time after time with the APA, the goal is to promote an ideology by giving it a scientific veneer. Well, this ideology reduces all sexual morality to consent and assumes that there is no good or bad way to define or engage in desired intimacy. Any discomfort that anyone has must be the result of stigmatization. As Andre von Moll, a physician who has studied adolescent sexuality, told the Christian Post, "This is the entirely expected and predicted consequence of what happens when ideology replaces science." The APA is yet again showing us that they are a professional guild and not a scientific organization. It's also the entirely and predicted consequence of our cultural trajectory regarding human sexuality. 4 years ago, Robbie George wrote an article in the American Interest entitled, "Is Polyamory Next?" Everything he pointed to there has happened. Sympathetic depictions of polyamory in the media, opinion pieces by legal scholars, and call after call for us, quote, to keep our minds open towards polygamy and other multiple partner sexual relationships, end of quote. Well, he made it clear that the same logic that justified same-sex marriage would eventually be applied to polyamory, which many same-sex advocates even then freely admitted. So given the changes in the Supreme Court, we may not get an overfill type decision for polyamory, but this move by the APA suggests it may not be necessary if enough people are convinced that disapproving of polyamory is bigotry, the politics and law, especially in some jurisdictions, will quickly follow suit. So there you have it. We're talking here about an ideology that is being promoted in Babylon, America. And the ideology is, now that we have men legally marrying men and women legally marrying women, that now the next move is have a man marry two women or have a woman marry two men and have three men marry four women and four women marry three men and keep it all in the same contextual covenant, so to speak. Now, folks, this may sound a little weird, but in the Mormon church, they were called polygamists, I believe, where a man could have several wives. And that was something that people really, you know, looked down upon. The Mormons kind of liked it, and everybody seemed to go along with it. But it was made illegal, this polygamy. But what is being suggested here is way beyond that. Because in this case, you have a man marrying a man and a woman. So the sexual consent is between the man and the woman, all engaged. And the reversal of two men and two women being together in a marriage, sharing their emotional and sexual desire with each other. So I don't want to take that any further. It's just simply another sign of the madness of the times that we are living in. But that's not all that's going on in Babylon, America today. Here's an article, once again, coming out of Prophecy News Network. And it is titled, 1984 on Steroids. California is to launch cradle-to-career data tracking. Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. Listen to this. Just in case we haven't provided you with enough creepy dystopian news lately, the nation's leader in creepy dystopia, which is California, has a brand new program. It's called the Cradle to Career Data System. And what it will do is study and document everything about a child born in the state. What the heck is the Cradle to Career Data System? Well, here it is. Beginning at birth and stalking the child until he or she joins the workforce, California wants to keep an eye on all sorts of demographics and variables. They'll do this by collecting information from partner entities. They'll use this information, according to the Pasadena Star, to, quote-unquote, provide appropriate interventions and supports to address disparities in opportunities and improve outcomes for all students. Who are these partner entities, you ask? Well, the partner entities include, but are not limited to, state entities responsible for elementary and secondary education data, entities responsible for early learning data, segments of public higher education, private colleges and universities, state entities responsible for student financial aid, child care providers, state labor and workforce development agencies, and state departments administering health and human service programs. So, your kids' teachers, principals, professors, babysitters, and the purveyors of any state services you happen to use will all cough up every detail of your child's life. Of course, California just wants to help. This, to me, has hints of communist countries who pluck the brightest students from their home, educate them to work for the state. However, the admitted goal is data collection for the folks who make the rules. Well, ladies and gentlemen, these articles, and they go on and on and on, the tracking devices, the madness of idolatry, the craziness of sensuality and sexuality running rampant in our society today, all of this is taking place before our very eyes. And what I would like to do at this point is find out where my beloved wife is, Patricia Joy, and I want to get her on the air to talk about these things with me. So let's see if we have her on the air. Good morning, Patricia. God bless you. How are you today? And can you hear me okay? Let's see if we get Patricia. So we're having a little bit of a struggle with getting her on the line. So, Patricia, let me know when you're there. And let's see what's going on with this right now. Yeah, it's been a very technically challenged day. I guess Babylon knows that we're leaving and doesn't like that very much. But I don't know. Who knows? So let's see if we can get this going on. We have no internet there. I don't know why. Uh-oh. Okay, so our internet seems to have gone bye-bye. I don't think we're connected anymore. Let's see what's happening. We can hear. Okay, so, all right, so we can hear, they can hear. All right, so Patricia, I can't hear you is the problem, and I'm not sure what has happened here for right now, but let's see if I can. All right, so we're going to continue on. Let's see if I can get Patricia on the line here one more time. I want to see if I can get her here. Okay, Patricia Joy, let's try it again. All right, Patricia, can you hear me now? Are you able to get on the line with me? So what it's doing, it's kind of bouncing. It's going on and off here. So let's see what's going on. Try this one. All right, so for whatever reason, I'm having a real difficult time. Let me get her on this line here. Let's see. Okay, so. All right, we're going to have to do this a different way. Well, if you could hear me, folks, we're just kind of stuck here right now. For some reason, we're not able to do anything. I'm trying to bring a number of people are calling into the broadcast right now. I see Patricia's down here, but we just can't seem to connect.
All right, so let's try this one more time. Thanks for hanging out with us. I guess what Patricia Joy has to say is going to be pretty important. Let's see if we can get her on the line one more time. And I'll do a little research here, and maybe this will help us. I'm not sure. Strange territory. Hey, Patricia, can you hear me? Patricia, good morning. Are you there? Okay, let's try this one more time. Sorry about this, folks. We just, you know, it is what it is. It's technology, and we kind of ran into a little trouble this morning for one reason or another. But Patricia, if you'll call me back, I think we'll have a much better connection at this point. And let's go ahead and see if I can get Kathy on. If that works, then we might be in the ballpark again. So this is from our friends. Nope, we're just not able to get there. I'm not sure what that's all about. Just not sure what that's all about today. 858, where are you? Patricia Joy. So this is the, here, let me try this. Patricia, here we go. Are you there, dear lady?
I am here. I've been here waiting.
Okay, I finally have you on the line. Let's give it a shot. Let's go ahead and speak into what you're hearing this morning.
Well, what I'm hearing is Babylon, total confusion of what life has been created for and why. And I think it's an incredible work of the enemy to bring that forth so people don't know what end is up. They don't know what they are, male or female. They don't know if they should have two wives, three wives, or the same-sex marriage. It is total and complete confusion. And as I look at the scriptures, it says, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven. And what are these things they're talking about? Well, the things that we have been seeing going on right now. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and has remembered her iniquities. God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. She brought confusion to you. You don't know what end is up anymore. You don't know right from wrong, evil from good. And double unto her, double according to her works in the cup which she had filled to her double. So it's been a double filling of the cup. And so Babylon, you know, as we said so often, is a belief that it is confusion. The word itself means confusion. And because it was from the very beginning, that kind of experience of confusion, when God said, let us disperse mankind all over the world, because if they become one, they can accomplish anything they want to, and that was, of course, evil. So Babylon is confusion, and it is also called the gateway of the gods. What gods? We're talking about the gods, the false gods that are rising up in the earth today, but basically oneself as a false god. Because the love of money is the beginning of all evil, or the foundation of all evil. And it's reminding me of the angel of the ecclesia, or the church of the Laodicean, and how it was mentioned in scripture. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And I believe that Laodicean message is to the church of today and to the nation as a whole. But remember that at first, judgment starts in the house of God. So we're looking at these things because it says that it is blindness. The people don't see. They don't understand what is happening. And they are in blindness. They are being led over the top into disaster. My goodness, what a time we're in.
And it is an amazing time, Patricia. And what you're saying is really understated to the reality of what's going on. What the environment here, you have to imagine just last month in the month of June, they had over 1 million people in this city marching in their gay shame parades. And you have a city that's basically opened itself up to whatever is good for you is good for the environment. It's good for everybody. We're all tolerable. We're all acceptable. We've preached that before. But to see it in action here creates an environment where you're stuck in the slug. You cannot really minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, as you go one-on-one, you could be that sign. You could buy someone a cup of coffee. You could do whatever, you know, be a good person. But eventually the Babylonian spirit that is here has a very overpowering effect that begins to wear on your spirit and mind. We've only been here 2.5 days. I can't wait to get on the plane in about an hour and a half or 2 hours. I can't wait to get out of here. And I believe that many saints of God have wiped the dust off of their shoes against this city. And we have a call coming in. I want to take this call just to see how our brother's doing out there. Brother Michael, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air, sir. Hello, Michael. Are you there? Hello, caller 238. You're on the air. Okay, so we're not going to get a call back from you. Michael, are you on the air?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you, sir.
Yeah, this is Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, what I'm hearing in all of this is what it amounts to is it's almost a hatred of God. It's a way of sticking your finger in God's eye and saying, you know what? You're not our God. You might be their God, but you're not our God. And without being graphic, it's like sticking a finger in God's eye and saying, hey, we don't need you. You know, we're going to do things our way. And they're going down a path. Well, they're going down the broad path that leads to destruction. That's the bottom line.
Well, it certainly is. And, Bill, I will not be surprised that in just a very short time, if we don't see some things happen in this city, along with others out there. I want to appreciate your time. Thank you for calling in. Let's see if we can get this next call here. Patricia, are you still there?
I am still here.
All right, dear lady, go ahead and speak into that. Yes, go ahead and speak into that.
Well, I think we're dealing with belief systems that are revealing that we are in Babylon. If we do not see it, we will become blinded and we will be destroyed. It's as simple as that. So, you know, in 2 Corinthians 6, it reminded me of 2 Corinthians 6:16-18, when it says, what agreement is the temple of God with idols? Well, what I'm seeing are idols. People have all kinds of idols that they're putting before God, making it more important than him. And it goes on to say, for you are the temple of the living God. And as God said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, to do that, come out from among them and separate yourself, says the Lord, and touch, listen to this, and touch not the unclean thing. They are touching, and I'm talking about Christians, all kinds of unclean things. They are presenting themselves before idols, and themselves being the greatest, of course, because of pride. and because of the love of money and the desire for the things of this world. And the scripture goes on to say, and I will receive you if you do not touch the unclean thing. I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Almighty God. And 90% truth with only 10% error does not make the error any less wrong. The truth is that we must come out from the ways of the world. And we have to understand what those ways are, what they look for, or what they look like, because they are going to change you within if you don't understand. If you are in darkness, it is going to soak you and devour you in no time at all, as what you have seen in New York City and what you're hearing about in California. And it's moving swiftly. It's moving fast. This darkness is coming upon mankind all over the world, and it is such a speedy move right now. It is almost unrecognizable unless you know the truth. Of course, the truth sets us free. But we have to open our eyes, body of Christ, and all those that are listening, open your eyes and look and see what's going on. It is happening in such a speed right now. It boggles the imagination. So then, how shall we be? We shall come out of the ways of the world. And that includes the systems of these world, of this world also. But right there, in New York City, those systems, governmental systems, are being established in a greater and more profound communistic manner and way, as you already mentioned, honey. And this is a heartbroken situation. I'm telling you, it is so heartbreaking to see this. But we cannot waver. We must stand. We must be unmovable. But we must have the Holy Spirit discernment to really judge perfectly. Because as it's already happening, some people are beginning to say, and I'm not in agreement, but some people are beginning to say that the situation with President Trump is the situation of an antichrist spirit. And then people are beginning to say the situation with the left, that's a situation and a spiritual work of the antichrist spirit. Who's right? Who's wrong? Deception is so great, but we have to know, is it or is it not? Is Trump really presented here on this earth because of God Almighty, or isn't he? Do we know the truth? And what about the left and the communistic way? Are they truly moving in that direction, or do they have the truth? You see, it's very clever, and we have to know the difference.
Well, you just knocked that out of the park. That was well, well said. And what came to my mind as you were speaking is that, you know, just in all sincerity, you could come to New York with your friends, your family, and you could step into the environment and go and flow and wonder and admire Babylon, like John the Apostle in the book of Revelation, when he saw mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, he was said to marvel and wonder at her. And the angel said, what are you doing that for? And so you could step into New York and have the time of your life, ignore everything going on. But what it does, it literally captures your mind and your soul and brings you into its vibe, if you will. And yet, if you're born again and the Spirit of God resides within you, I would find it very difficult to just come, have a good time, and ignore anything that the Word of God has to say. And that's what you're talking about. We have another call coming in from area code 479. Where did this word go? 479903. We had a call coming in. Did we lose that call? All right. So we'll wait for that call to come back again. And we have another call coming in from area code 605. Let's take that call. Good morning, area code 605. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Uh-oh, I don't think we got that call. They went bye-bye as well. So hold on a second. Hold on a second. So, Patricia, are you still there with me?
I am. You know, a scripture okay. That comes to heart.
Yeah, let me just get this.
Yes.
Go ahead. Finish up what you're saying.
Okay, John 16:8. You know, I love to bring scripture as the answer to everything. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will convict each of us of what Babylon means in our own life. And he will convict you, he will convict me, what is binding us to Babylon, and anyone else that is involved with Babylon and doesn't even know it. And it is the importance and the prompting of the Spirit of God that we obey immediately when it starts to prompt, when the Holy Spirit starts to prompt. And I believe that you are making us aware by the Holy Spirit that we are now being prompted to really take a look at what we're involved in. And only those who really love God, their maker, more than anything else, will be willing to surrender all and the cross of obedience and follow the Savior instead of following Babylon. But it is so subtle, so absolutely subtle, that our eyes must be wide open by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, people, become filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So that
Patricia,
the Spirit will be
amen.
Yours.
Patricia, is that you in the background making those noises?
No, it is not.
Okay, so I've got somebody on and it's not showing up on the screen, but let me just confirm what you just said. Let me just confirm. I woke up this morning. It was early in the morning. I grabbed the Bible. I pray, Holy Spirit direction. And yesterday, and here's what made it so strange. Yesterday on this radio broadcast, I read, or it was Wednesday, actually, Wednesday on Kerm Radio, I read Ezekiel chapter 6 about Capitol Hill and what was going on in the Capitol. And to this morning, I woke up right to chapter 1 of the book of Micah, and it begins with the trial of the capitals, and its grief over Samaria and Jerusalem. And here was the word of the Lord, and I'm thinking about Washington, D.C., I'm thinking about New York City. It says that the word of the Lord came to Micah. In verse 2, it says, here was the word of the Lord, hear, all you people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord comes forth out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. The mountains shall be molten under him. The valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria, the capital city? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem, the capital of the north of the southern kingdom? Therefore, I will make these capital cities a heap of the field and his plantings of a vineyard. I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burned with fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate, for she gathered it for the hire of a harlot, and they shall return to the hire of a harlot. Therefore I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked, I will make wailings like the dragons and mourning as the owls, for her wound is incurable, for it is come unto her, it has come unto the gate of my people. And so what is this message? This again is the message of God to his people, to all the earth really, of what would come. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, all right, Lord, you're going to come and you're going to bring judgment. We've been saying that for how long? We've been saying that for such a very, very long time, that the Lord is going to come out of his holy habitation and he's going to allow things to happen because of that rebellion, because of that defiant spirit that is in the land today. So, Patricia, I bear witness to what you're saying. I agree with it. And we've got about 6 minutes left in the broadcast. If anybody is out there today and you want to step into the paradigm of, you know, weighing in on this conversation, make sure you give us a call at 818-369-0326. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. Patricia, your thoughts.
My thoughts are, if we make a decision, and we all have to make this decision, to come out from her, my people, come out from Babylon, my people. It reminds me a little bit of Lot's wife. That came to my mind, where she stopped and she turned and she became a pillar of salt because she did not want to leave the way of Sodom. And you see, I believe that those even with good intentions who want to come out from her, who desire to come out from Babylon, what happens at times is that that heart wants to really be part of it without even realizing it, and it becomes like salt. She becomes frozen, or the individual becomes like a hardened heart and cannot move any longer and stays in that position and cannot come out from her all the way. And let us not be like that. Let
yeah,
us
that you're
pray.
Talking.
Yes, that
right.
We do not.
Exactly.
I'm
you
sorry?
Talk about salt losing its savor. Man, that's the greatest example ever. And Patricia, as you were talking, let me just interject this thought here. When you come to New York City, a city like this, what you find, all the delicacies, they call them delicatessens, the delicacies, everything you want, good food, its exact description is Revelation chapter 18. Everything that Babylon is found here. And so again, the call is going out to the people, as you said earlier, that it's not something that's coming. It does exist already. But there are people in little towns and little hamlets throughout the land that feel very secure and are insulated because Babylon has not yet been fully put together, globally speaking, and plugged in. But when she is fully put together, all the components, and finally plugged in, the global reality of Babylon is going to pounce. And people will get caught in the snare, even in the little hamlets and in the little towns, if we don't understand what it means to come out of her, my people. Go ahead and take the next minute and a half, Patricia.
Well, this is where I believe the cry to the people, the blowing of the trumpet is so imperative. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Lift your voice and tell the people the time has come. There's still time. There's still time to understand that you have been caught up into idol worship. You have been caught up into Babylon if you do not know the difference. And if you do know the difference, you have time to raise out from her, to come out from her, my people, and make a stand. And thank God for Omega Radio. Thank God for Blog Talk. We have opportunity to cry out to the world. Everyone around the world is listening to this right now. They have opportunity, no matter where they are, to come out from her, to know and to have her described exactly what she is like, to captivate their soul and bring them to destruction. The time is still available. And if there would be opportunity to have a radio program in New York City, which I believe is the hub of Babylon, where I expressed it yesterday and the day before. Yes, the hub, because there is the United Nations itself, where they have been inundated with the New Age concepts and ideas, which is the control for one world government. And it's right there in the, seated in New York. And so there is a time for the cry to go out there and say, come out. And not only from New York, but every nation, every country in the world by Omega Radio, we could raise our voices. We can claim the truth. We can give them the moments and opportunities to say, there is still some time. So I praise God for that. And I pray that someone out there will be hearing this cry, and the cry of my husband, Pastor Vincent Xavier, to bring finances in, to bring a radio program that we could do from where we are to New York City, and then hear it all over the world.
Yes, amen. And Patricia, something you said, a little striking note, is it's not just New York. Remember, mystery, Babylon the Great, is the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So Jeremiah says the daughter of Babylon. So there are many daughters. Chicago is a daughter. L.A. is a daughter. The cities of the nations of the earth are all daughters of Babylon. But what has been strikingly remarkable is being here, and I've been here many times before, but being here with eyes wide open, I have seen something I've never seen before. It has become more clear in my mind, and I truly believe the message isn't just stand and having done all the stand, but make sure you're standing in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. We have run out of time. I've got to go. Patricia Joy, thank you for joining me on the air. We'll be back on the air Monday. And by the way, the Omega Radio Network, it has gone down since I left. And when we come back Monday, it'll be going 24/7 once again. And we'll look forward to seeing everybody then. God bless. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you in Arkansas real soon. Shalom.
And to God be the glory.
Amen, Sister Pat.